The adults all prayed, and then a two-year-old, watching the adults, she got in the circle, and she calls herself Say-Say. She said, Say-Say's turn. Two-year-old. You know, isn't it amazing? We don't really know what's happening in the kids that are watching us fast, right? We don't really know what's happening. Okay, you've got to go back downstairs.
All right. Well, Rob wanted me to just share. Last night, God just really placed the story of David. He went to battle with his mighty men, and they went and they had victory, and they took all the spoils back to camp. And they shared the spoils with the people that were unable to be part of the battle. And I just sense that the Lord is, that's what he wants to do here with our church too, that people who were unable to be part of the week in prayer and fasting, God wants to pour out the blessings from the week and just the healing and all that he did. He wants to pour that on our whole body. So, Lord, we just pray that, God, you would do that, Lord. Would you, Lord, just pour out your blessing and just your good grace on our whole body, God. Those who were able to be part of the week of prayer and fasting and those who were unable, Lord, we just ask that your spirit would fill everyone overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Run, go, back to the two-year-olds. I told her 40, so sorry about that. And now I'm going to have Matt share. Matt leads the men's ministry, and that could be a next step for young men, older men. Every Saturday, the men are meeting. And then you'll hear me, but I really want to ask the men of all ages to come to the men's conference this year. If you'd consider that being a next step, that we would go on outreach to reach other men like we've never gone on outreach before to reach men here at the church. Matt, you share.
Yeah, so God has been doing so many things this week. I feel like Frankie and I are still processing all the good things that God did. One of the highlights for me this week was Sunday night. Frankie and I were up here in the sanctuary. We're kind of facilitating, helping get all the small groups sorted. And then once everything was kind of going underway, we're just kind of watching over the sanctuary, and I saw a guy come in and just kind of work his way towards a completely empty circle, and he was just sitting by himself, and I thought, oh, that's not right. Like, why is he sitting by himself? And so Frankie and I went over and just started visiting with this man, and he was just in a desperate place, and it's almost like he was just trying to control his breathing too. And we just started talking with him, and he just started pouring out his heart. And he was in a really desperate, broken place. He was struggling with some family stuff, trying to navigate a relationship. He had a financial burden, loss of loved ones, and just there was just so much. But I just thought, man, I'm glad he's here, and I'm glad that Frankie and I were able to just, you know, kind of come alongside him and pray. But one of the things that I took away from that was he didn't know what else to do, but he came and he made himself available for the Lord, and God really met him. And he went from just being just completely at rock bottom, I felt like that night, to just feeling like he was seen and heard and known and loved by our church. And I know that God sees us and knows us and loves us way more than any of us could do for others. But I just felt like that was just such a highlight for me of just what community is. And I love what Chad shared in the beginning, that community is so vital to our Christian walk with the Lord. Just as much as being in the Word and prayer, we need each other. We need to be in community. And so I would just encourage any of you guys that feel like you're just going through it. Maybe you feel like you're going through things alone. You're suffering in silence. Man, just as much as you can, just press in and be among the body of Christ here. And we want you to be seen and known and loved. And so, you know, I just going back to that man, it was really neat because by the end of the night, we had helped him out just with some temporary financial help. The church was able to help him that way. And we got him connected with a mentor. One of the men's, the guys on my men's team is going to start mentoring him twice a month. And so we got him these lifelines. It's just amazing. Just in one evening, he's already got some good, healthy lifelines. And so I think that's what community is all about. So just wanted to share that highlight with you. And I'm just going to pray, just as Susie prayed, I'm just going to pray, God, would you just meet anybody that's here today? Maybe they walk into this big place and this church and they just feel like, man, I'm not able to really integrate with this body, or I don't know how to share what's going on in my heart, or nobody would understand the brokenness that I'm facing right now. And I just pray, Lord, would you just dispel the lies of the enemy, God? And I just pray that you would just help us to link arms with each other and help those that just feel like they just need a fresh touch from you this morning, that they would be met by you, Lord, and just put them on a trajectory of all that you have for them, Lord. Those next steps, Lord, would you lead them into the next steps, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I was going to have you pray what you just prayed. So thanks for not making me ask you to do that. Yeah. And a lot of you guys know Matt and Frank, and those who love Frank, you call her Frank. And what kind of church has a Matt and Frank on staff, huh? So, Frank?
I'm glad he clarified. Yeah. Okay, so good morning. Rob asked some of us to share this morning, and you know, I actually thought, I don't know if I have anything to share. Lord, what do you even have? Like, there's so much. How do you nutshell something like the week of prayer and fasting? And I just felt the Lord's like, Frank, just tell the truth. And the truth is that humble is usually not a week I look forward to in any genuine way. Like, truly, it's a rough week. We've been a part of all the years of it, and it's usually kind of a traumatic week. There's been years in the past it's actually been a little traumatic. Whether it's just the sheer onslaught of Satan and the spiritual attack to physical struggles or just different things. And so it's kind of, we have two big weeks in our family time here, right? The prayer retreat or the prayer summit here, which is humble. And then we have a yearly pastor's conference that we do, that we host the state. And each one of those two things in my life and in our home is like, oh, you just kind of feel like you have to kind of batten down the hatches, just kind of like, okay, Lord, we're willing and we're serving you and we're committed, but it's rough. And so sometimes you hear people like, it's the best week ever, and I just look forward to it the whole year. And I'm like, I am not you. I am not there. But being authentic in that, also the truth is, like, God is so radically kind to me and has met me in the most powerful ways equally during the week of prayer and fasting, right? So I think my heart was just like, golly, if that was a rough week, or maybe you're like, man, I just couldn't really enter in for a myriad of reasons, and I'm here today, and all I'm hearing about, all how great it was, you know, I love how God is the same God, right? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that his faithfulness and willingness to care for you and be in your life does not, it's not equal to whether you entered into humble last week. It doesn't equal whether you did a 24-hour water fast or a 24-day water fast, whatever, right? Like, God is so faithful to accomplish the plans that he has for you and me. And it's not a result of us. And this week, actually the last 5 years, I have not been able to participate every day of that week from some catastrophic physical ailment or the other, like COVID a couple years and influenza last year or a couple years ago. And then last year we just had major medical kind of crisis that ended up leading to a surgery. And I ended up getting taken out again, like midweek. I'm just missing again. And so I just felt like the Lord was, he's ministered to me so much in that, like, again, that we are not getting our value or identity in what we do or how much we can show up for others. And so this year I've just been rejoicing. The Lord has been so kind to me, to bring me through a lot of different physical struggles this year. And it's been a real joy. And then Saturday, the day before humble, I got hit with a migraine. I struggle with migraines and I haven't had that for quite a while, and just took me out the whole day. You're just in bed, like, done. And I thought, yep, couple starts tomorrow. I was like, okay, Lord, like I'm just in my bed, like, okay, Lord, like I'm trusting you and you believing that you're good, even though this isn't good. This doesn't feel good, right? And this week I had more headaches than I've had, I think, combined. Like just, it was just a trial. Every minute of the week was just a dial that turns up and down, and you just face into it. So my encouragement to you is if you're facing a trial or you're in a season or you're like, man, Humbles, that's great for y'all that it was really good, but I'm struggling or I'm still waiting for an answer. God is faithful. Just turn yourself straight into the trial, face into it, and the Lord will be faithful to carry you through. And the scripture he gave me for my own heart this week was Jeremiah 29:11-13. I'm just going to read it over you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So it's not about how good you can be or how good of a person you are. It's just, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Help me with my struggle. Help me with my humanity. Help me with where I'm at, as I just want to please you. So I hope that encourages you this morning.
Yeah, and Cindy always sparkles when she gets up in front. And she's got a women's retreat coming up, and that could be a next step. It could be a huge, huge next step for you. And Tuesday women's study could be a next step for you if you're able to go to that, or once a month women's study of all ages, you can come to that. Yes. But Cindy, share.
Well, it was so much fun yesterday because I just finished my quiet time and I got a text from Rob, you know, just saying, hey, do you have anything to share for in tomorrow? And I had to chuckle because I had been praying a certain, you know, there was one major thing I was praying through, and Saturday night, or I guess what had been Friday night, I got a realization through communication that prayer had definitely not been answered yet. And so, you know, that feeling like, oh man, you know, I'm not terribly discouraged, but I love how the Lord gives us his word at just the right time. And so I had just written out Romans 12:12. Let's see if I can make it big enough. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, Romans 12:12. And I just thought how God just wanted to remind me that his timing is not our timing, and that he is on the move, and that our prayers are living and active, and he honors them. And so just I echo the things that have been said about, man, don't be discouraged if your prayer wasn't answered, because the Lord's always reminding me that don't give up, because it could be just around the corner where you get that answer. So that was one thing. So I thought that was what I was going to share. Well, then I came to last night, and I was kind of an available leader for any prayer groups that didn't have a leader. So Frankie came, and she said, well, could you go get in this one? There's nobody, you know, that we know in that circle. Well, it was wild, because it was actually three of the people in the circle were from Verbatim Church. It's a little Calvary offshoot in the Albany area. And we got to talking, we ended up praying for, man, they have a homeless ministry that just like, oh, goodness, it was a privilege to pray by name over all these homeless people that this couple is loving on. Well, so then we go around the circle, and there's a man, I'm from Klamath Falls, I was born and raised there, my kids were all born there. He's from Klamath, just moved here like 4 years ago. What comes out is the couple that are working with the homeless ministry are from Lakeview. Now, 2,500 people in Lakeview, I just want to say, that is where my husband had a vet clinic in Lakeview. And that is where my son, where God, I couldn't help it. This is a word, I believe, for you guys. I was standing behind a ton of college men during worship. And this wasn't a part of what I was going to say, but then I knew that the Lord was stirring that up. I just want to encourage you, because we moved to Lakeview when my son was 14. And God had stirred a fire in him here at Calvary when we were at the senior center. And when we moved down there, Rory was just on fire to take the gospel to the high school. Well, our first Christmas there, 40 kids got saved in our living room. I mean, it was wild what God did in the years before my husband passed away down there. And what's crazy is these two people that are doing the homeless ministry said, "Oh my gosh, we thought you looked familiar. I graduated with Rory, and the wife had been involved in our little Calvary in Lakeview and a part of Rory's youth ministry there." I mean, it's not Rory's youth ministry, it's what God did. But I just want to say, be ready and be willing that when he tells you to step out, whether it's just lead a prayer group at the high school, be obedient. Rory's now leading a flourishing church in Prineville. God is on the move. So I just feel like don't think that you are not enough. Be bold, be obedient to whatever he says. And then the last thing, I mean, I'm just blown away. I'm thinking about Klamath Falls and Lakeview in this one group and these people, you know, whoa. But I prayed yesterday afternoon. I said, this is one of my favorite things to pray is like, God, give me a divine appointment. Don't come to church without praying for divine appointments. Go to the grocery store and ask for divine appointments, because that was a divine appointment. And it just makes life with Jesus so exciting, because you never know what he's going to do. The final thing that the Lord dropped into my heart this morning during prayer backstage was the picture of Russ and I cattle ranched for 14 years before he went to vet school, and we flood irrigated a lot of the ranch. And I don't know if you've ever seen that, but we had a Lost River ran through our ranch, and then there would be pipes into the fields, and you had to pull like a block out of the way for the water to flood irrigate the field. And I just sensed that the Lord was saying, what has happened this week and will continue because of what has started was that metal sheet was pulled out of the pipe and the water was rushing into the field.
You know, I've seen that word multiple years of just the sheet being pulled up and the water flooding, because my sister lives on a ranch and I've seen that, and that's been in my heart. Yeah. Thank you, guys. And Cindy, you're like Paul, where chapter 3, he says, finally, then he goes 2 more chapters. Yeah. Yeah, such a powerful week. And you know, to be really honest with you, Frankie said it, I being really, really honest, I'm dreading next year already. Like, it's coming too quick next year. I hate fasting. I really do. I love what fasting produces, but I'm miserable when I fast. I'm miserable. I'm trying to figure out how to get the week to go faster, and I've turned all those dials down. It's just going slow, and it's just me and God, and it's just so hard, and it's not very emotional. I'm not sensing much during the week. I'm not experiencing God much in the week, but what ends up happening is it's very drab, and then it's like God moves in power, and feels like nothing's happening, and God moves in power. And we were Tuesday night at the college, and bring up the picture of Maisie. Tim brought Maisie to real life, which isn't a place you really take your daughter. Is she 11, Tim? 7. And it's not really a place you take 7-year-olds. But she ended up being prayed for, and Maisie ended up writing this to God. She was asking Dad, how do I spell these things to God? And then as a result of being there that night, I'm officially a Christian. And Maisie, I was talking to her this week on the phone. She goes, when's the next baptism? How soon can I get baptized? And so next week, I think it's next week that she's going to get baptized. And then Tim, her dad, asked me last night, will you baptize me also? And so just incredible week and of God moving so many ways. I was here, again, very, very, you know, when I was at Real Life, I felt zero. But boy, when I stood before you guys as college students, I was like, wow, just sense God's power. And that's how it's been all week, like very ordinary, very drab, very nothing. But I love what fasting produces. And one of the men spoke over me I don't know what night it was, and he said, all night long, I just sensed that there's a word for you. I can't get rid of it. God's going to give you a double portion. And I like, oh, I receive that. Well, you know, those are nice. Those are nice words. And someone says that over you, go, oh, that's nice. But something happened. It's pretty interesting. For 17 years, God's been speaking about writing a book about prayer and fasting, because now there are probably close to 100 churches that are praying and fasting from our week of prayer and fasting. Even I received word this week of people in Germany that are fasting while we're fasting. And God's been putting it on my heart. But for 17 years, I couldn't get out more than a half sheet. You've seen it. And at one point, God even encouraged me, and he said, okay, don't write a book, Rob, write a pamphlet. can you write a pamphlet? Couldn't you write a pamphlet? I wrote the front and back side of a paper, just couldn't get it out. You know, the next day after that word was given, you can bring up on the screen, God began to work. I've written 10 chapters this week. And I mean, it has just like been pouring out of me. I almost can't wait to get home to start writing again. And one night I was up to 10 o'clock. I mean, it is just pouring out. A double portion is just pouring out of me. This morning, the Lord was speaking to me. Humble Maker is actually not the name of the prayer and fasting book. It's the name of the series of books that God has given me to write at this stage of my life. So that was this morning's double portion. So it's just been, why don't we have the worship team come on back up? But boy, what an absolute outpouring this week has been. And I just say one of the highlights for me is the leaders of our church. Just brings me to tears. It takes 325 leaders to lead those prayer circles. And can we just applaud those leaders that led all week? And another 75 people to serve this weekend. It's overwhelming to be part of a church. And if there was another highlight for me, it was the mornings all week long. And the college students said, you guys woke up all week and came. And never has a year been at the end of the week that Friday's the biggest day of the week. But Friday was the biggest day, standing room only, of college students packing in, young people packing into the prayer chapel. It was so refreshing to me. I feel so refreshed. I feel so refreshed. I'm ready to go. I feel so filled up. And I'm just, I'm so thankful to be in ministry and not feel burnt out and not feel done, but feel just filled. Let's stand up. We really sense that God wanted us to have the extra time. And I'm not going to have you college students come back up, even though I want to. That would be too weird to have you come up and back. But the story on our heart all week was the story of Jehoshaphat. All week, every morning, that the story of Jehoshaphat is they called a fast. And when Jehoshaphat called the people to fast, the victory came when the people began to worship God before the battle. Before any hand-to-hand combat, it's as they worship that the victories were won. And I sense God has that for us in this last 15 minutes. I've held really lightly. We've had probably 70 leaders that are ready to come up front, but I've just been holding it. I don't think the Lord has that. I think we're just to finish these last 15 minutes of worship. And I'm just going to believe God, and I want you to believe God for victory this morning. You might not be in a healthy place. You might be engaged in battles for your soul, for your family, for your children, for your marriage. As a young person, there might be warfare that is dark. You might be a person that you've been away from the Lord a long time, but this morning's a morning of victory. You might not even be saved. And the Lord was reminding me that when I got saved, there wasn't even an invitation. I just was at a place where people were singing, and I went home and collapsed in the presence of the Lord. I was saved. And let's just believe God together. Let's believe God for each other, with each other. Let's just bow our hearts in a humble posture before the Lord. Could you? Maybe just close your eyes in a humble posture. And Lord, we're just believing you at the end of 7 days, would you bring victories that only you could bring as we're still worshiping, we're still believing. And you can pretend like something's not going on, or you can bring that before the Lord during this time. And you can believe the Lord. You could say, Lord, I believe. Even like that father that said, I believe this is a word for someone. The father said, Lord, I do believe, but you finish it. Help me with, I do believe, Lord. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. He said, I do believe, but help me with my